The Legal Sunday, The Moral Aspect of the Question, Chapter 1. Objections to Sunday laws on account of their inspiration and contents. They are immoral and demoralizing in every aspect, and as evil in their results as their origin would indicate. The objection to Sunday laws that they promulgate the falsehood that Sunday is the Sabbath. The preceding chapters have been written with the view of discrediting Sunday laws in the United States as far as possible, by proving that such laws embody a union of church and state everywhere, and that in this country they embody the union with the state of a church which, judged by the character and conduct of the men who established it here, is not a church to be selected among all others for the National Church of America, if we should ever make up our minds to have such an institution. Closely connected with the historic aspect of our subject is what may be called its moral aspect. The inspiration of these laws being a union of the Brownist Church with the state is evidently an un-American and undesirable inspiration. But we are now to examine this inspiration on its merits, and to discover from the records that the Brownist dogma, which is embodied in our Sunday laws, is a false dogma, and that therefore the church united with the state by Sunday laws is a false church, built on quicksand and not upon the rock. To show that these laws are based on misconception and false pretense, and in their very birth are clothed with lies as with a garment, is surely to indicate a first and very serious objection to them. If religious dogmas are to be kept on American statute books, they surely ought not to be such as are refuted by the only authority relied upon for sustaining them. If we are to maintain the union of church and state in the Republic, let us at least have the church honest and truthful in the teachings to which it asks the state to enforce a compulsory deference. Now, the proposition in hand is that the Brownist Church is not honest and truthful in its dogma of the idle and cheerless Sunday, which it insists that the state shall force upon the people. Let us look at the record. The Brownist began by rejecting all tradition, and in particular the traditional feasts and fasts of the Church, such as Christmas, Good Friday, Ash Wednesday, Lent, etc. He made a specialty, in fact, of ostentatious disrespect toward all these anniversaries. The Annalist of the Pilgrim Fathers tells with equal pride how they observed their first Sabbath in America, and how they were at pains to dishonor the Christmas that followed. Rejecting, then, all tradition, and especially traditional feasts and fasts, the Brownist avowed that he held to the written word alone, meaning thereby the books recognized as canonical by the English Church, though he violently repudiated the ecclesiastical authority of that Church, including, of course, her right to settle the canon of Scripture and to say what books were and what were not properly included therein. Calmly ignoring the trifling inconsistency of denying the jurisdiction while relying on the decree, the Brownist, then, appealed to his written word for the sacred obligation of his idle and cheerless Sunday. He was thus compelled to face a dilemma from which a less resolute fanaticism than his might have recoiled. For nothing is more completely and essentially a matter of tradition than the observance of Sunday. In the written word by which the Brownist declared his willingness to stand or fall, there is absolutely no mention of the day whatever, except as a calendar date, under the name of the first day of the week. For no honest person who knows anything of the subject will endorse the deliberate falsehood printed in the American Sunday School Union's Bible Dictionary that Sunday is alluded to under the name of the Lord's Day in the Bible, any more than he will endorse that other deliberate falsehood printed along with it, that Christ transferred the obligations of the Fourth Commandment to Sunday. The deliberate falsehoods printed in the Union Bible Dictionary regarding Sunday and the Sabbath are considered in Chapter 3 of this part. Nowhere in this written word is there the slightest reference to Sunday as a holy day or the faintest suggestion regarding an obligation to observe it in any manner or for any reason whatever. In fact, there is no injunction to observe any weekly anniversary but one in the Bible, and that day bears a similar relation to Sunday to that which Monday bears, being the next day before it, as Monday is the next day after it. And if that injunction had named the second day of the week, as it does name the seventh day, there would have been just as much reason for applying it to the first day as there is in its actual relation. But difficulties like these do not affect minds of the Brownist stamp. As Sunday was not mentioned as holy in the Bible, and as only one day was so mentioned, the Brownists took the name of that day and applied it to Sunday, which thus, by a mere change of nomenclature, became the Sabbath. Thus, when the Sunday Law of 1621 was under discussion, it was proposed to entitle it An Act for the Better Observance of the Sabbath Day, commonly called Sunday. One rash defier of the Brownism, which was then gradually supplanting the English Church as a state establishment and had already risen superior to the calendar, suggested that as Dies Sabbatorum was Saturday, the proper title of the bill would be An Act for the Better Observance of Saturday, commonly called Sunday. For this simple amendment in the interests of verbal accuracy, he was reprimanded on his knees and expelled from the House of Commons. Now, though the word Sunday does not occur in the English version of the Bible, the word Sabbath does, as well as the plural form, Sabbaths. And both the singular and plural are used only in connection with the Mosaic cult. The reason why the other Jewish anniversaries have been neglected, and the weekly day alone regarded by Christians, is obvious. The weekly Sabbath alone is mentioned in the Ten Commandments. All Christians believe that the Jews were the custodians for centuries of a body of divine truth for the benefit of all mankind. How much of what was in terms delivered to them is literally binding for all time and all men has been a matter of dispute. Just as among the Jews themselves, there is a difference of opinion as to what was intended to be confined to the stay of the people in Palestine and what was designed as law for the race forever. There is a common consensus as to 9 of the commandments that they are of perpetual obligation. The Brownist's peculiar insistence for one half his Sunday, the idle half, is that the other, or fourth commandment, is equal to the rest, that it is of universal application. Many careful students and clear thinkers agree with him so far, but none outside of those sects who are permeated with the spirit of Brownism imagine that it can have any application to any other day than the day expressly mentioned in it, that is to say, the last day of the week. Hence, council after council of the early church, in passing regulations for the observance of Sunday, speaks of it by its common name in those days, Dies Dominica. They would, in fact, not have been understood to refer to anything but Saturday if they had mentioned Dies Sabbatorum, for the simple reason that that was its name in those days, as it was in the days of the Brownists. 1. See these decrees collected in Sunday, etc. The only words used in England before the existence of Puritanism were Sunday and Lord's Day. Notes and Queries, July 21, 1855. This interesting paragraph shows how Sabbath has never to this day lost its Hebraic signification in Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, and French. The Russian word for Sunday, the writer informs us, means resurrection. The Germans call. We find, then, the serious objection against Sunday laws that in their origin and maintenance in the United States, they are the fruit of the falsehood of the Brownists, that they rejected the feasts, fasts, and other trumperies of the apostate church, of the further falsehood that they rejected all tradition and held to the written word only, and above all, the insuperable objection that they promulgate the abject falsehood that Sunday is the Sabbath.